The Abbot of Casa Maria, a convent placed in the province of Campania in the kingdom of Naples, one of the three that, being lost on the road, had arrived at Mount Siepe, was inspired by the Lord to suggest to the Bishop of Volterra that on the place of the tomb of the saint, a chapel in his honor should be erected, as well as a house for a few monks to celebrate Mass, which he would provide from his own community. The proposition pleased the bishop, and generous people made large offerings. The same bishop thereupon gave the permission to build it. In the space of 5 years, the chapel was completed, that is, to this day, preserved intact. It is a solid and austere construction, perfectly round, over a diameter of 29 to 30 feet. Footnote. The measurements are a rough approximation of the braccio legno, or wooden arm, measurement used from the Middle Ages until the late 19th century, and used by the author, which is approximately 1.78 feet, with a tall dome and lantern, and the entire interior was painted with the deeds of the saint. Such paintings were perhaps worn out by time and forgotten, and uncultivated men covered them with new mortar and whitewashed them. Thus, now not even a vestige of them remains, nothing more than one bezel in a small chapel next to the church. As a result of the people's devotion, it grew dramatically. The graces and miracles worked from heaven through the intercession of the same saint from his tomb served to increase the offers and gifts of the neighboring cities, both of various prelates and princes, who are to serve as proof of the merits of our Galgano. There were some thoughts to erect a more grandiose church in like manner, a larger convent, but since the location of the mountain did not afford the necessary space, at the foot of the mountain, 66 years after the death of Galgano, an immense and majestic church was built, and the Abbey of St. Galgano. It was said that it garnered the admiration of those times, but, due to a series of mournful circumstances, was left to utterly waste away, as is seen in our times. The magnificent ruins, however, are still a subject of amazements. The ruins extend over the immense shrine and monastery in a quadrangular space of not less than 711 feet on each side. The church is 231 feet long internally, over a width of 80 feet in three aisles, and 112 feet in the cross-section. The quickness and austere form of its Gothic architecture, the rich marble and stonework, are a shining witness of those majestic ruins which still remain today. The aqueducts are also observed at the present. In their day, they provided excellent and abundant water collected with great effort and expense, which have had their sources from distant places. So it is little wonder that it maintained itself in prosperous times. From authentic memory, more than 180 monks, priests, and a proportionate amount of laity dwelt there. There were so many homes containing the arts and different crafts that it could be said to have formed a city, populated by over 4,000 souls, and now, alas, the terrible story of human things, destroyed, desolate, and lonely. It is not the purpose of this compendium to expose the causes of the decay of time, which must above all else be attributed to the pestilence, particularly in the 16th century, which exercised its deadly might. Other sources may be consulted in order to have more widespread publicity, the writers of the histories of Siena, Malovetti Pecci, as well as others. I thought to briefly mention something about the magnificence of such a famous shrine, only to make it understood how much the reverence was no less present in the surrounding people that, although from remote places, what the quality of the work was wherein they contributed, dedicated to our saint. Certainly, without having seen the favors which heaven continually imparted to his intercession, they were not in fact his contemporaries, for the next generation generously accepted the gifts and bountiful offerings in his honor.